Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen. It is I. Well, it's not. I'm not the hot rod. The voice you're hearing is of Sean Black, because we are starting season 4 of The Absolute Truth on Blog Talk Radio. Hello once again, everybody. We hope you had a good summer. We hope you had a good whatever you did this summer, because with all the garbage and all the craziness that has happened this year and this summer, we have a lot to talk about. Once again, as I stated before, I am, well, I guess I'm your host today. It is I, Sean Black, who's back in the building once again, here to talk about all the transgressions and all of the things that have happened and all the permutations that could actually happen here on The Absolute Truth. Now,
please shut the hell up.
Oh,
you will never, never take over my show. Just keep that in mind. I am the hot rod. Ladies and gentlemen, this is how you open up a show, Sean Black. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to, yes, we are back with season 4, The Absolute Truth Show, right here on Blog Talk Radio. I am your host, with the most, the man that will shut everybody down tonight. I am the hot rod. And on the phone lines, I have the running mouth, the blabber mouth, the piece of crap, the sensitive one in the building. His name is Sean Black. And
yes,
I have the other line, the woman that broke the most records, that have most sex in the last 24 hours with all these men. I have the lovely Anitra B.
You were dropped on your head as a child, and it's had long lasting effects.
Wow. New season?
Just
same end zone.
Picked up.
Hello, gentlemen.
Just left off.
Can you believe it's been
how was everybody's summer?
Long.
Okay.
Very, very long.
Yeah, okay.
I work, you know me. I work all the time, so.
Yes. So you don't have time to enjoy your summer.
Yeah, what's summer?
Ladies and gentlemen, you heard it from Manicha's B mouth. She's been working it all summer, and it has been long. So there
oh
you go.
Oh, my God.
That's why
I
couldn't do a show.
Oh,
I need strength.
Yes, you're gonna need it after what's been going on in this country for the last couple of months. We're all gonna need it.
Okay. Well, ladies
and gentlemen,
this is true. Well, the number to call to tell us what's on your mind, your thoughts, questions, or comments is 347-989-8402. The number once again is 347-989-8402. Sean Black, and it should be for the season 4 premiere. Are you in a mood, or are you ready to piss some people off? Because it's been like at least a month.
This is true, and yes, I am.
Piss people off, yay!
All right.
So I have a question.
Go ahead, ladies.
I was. Have you two watched the movie She's Out of My League?
I can't say that I have.
No.
Okay,
we
well,
have a
there,
life.
There. Well, no, you don't. There's a scene where this guy, well, one of the characters, is explaining to his friend that, you know, the female that he's interested in is one of those chicks that's completely groomed from head to toe.
Okay.
So he explained to him that, you know, he would need to be obviously groomed down there.
Okay.
So he dropped his trousers and explained to him how it should look.
Okay.
And then offered to help him trim himself. Is there something wrong with that? Like, is that the norm?
I don't know if it's the norm. It's nothing that I've ever done.
I've never heard of that.
That might be more of your alley. What do you think?
Like, would the two of you offer to help each other trim each other?
Probably not.
Ladies and gentlemen, that's all for the show tonight. Thank you so much for listening.
You can tell it's been a long summer.
Yeah.
Wait a minute, okay. Hot Rod speechless? Whoa. I feel accomplished.
Yes, but if I think about me and my executive producer of the show doing that to each other, trying to shave each other or trim it down. But, all right, here's a question. Is it normal, is it etiquette for a man to shave down there?
But women it probably don't. Depends on, I think it depends on the time of when he was raised or where, you know, because the older the person is, they probably aren't doing it. But now, because of the metrosexual movement and what's happened now, especially with social media and people having these different trends, maybe you're starting to get, maybe that's a little more normal now. I'm not sure. I wouldn't know. But maybe it's considered normal for a lot of males to trim now, I guess.
No, this is a serious question. If you shave down there, are you not afraid to get razor bumps in certain areas of the body, I guess?
I would not trust myself with any sharp implement. Anything that can cut off something, remove anything, is not going anywhere in that area. So
I enjoy the fact that I have grown men talking about this.
Okay. All right, okay.
I enjoy this immensely.
Okay, I guess, are we done now? Talk about trimming hair parts?
We don't need any Lorena Bobbitt incidents right here, okay?
Okay. And the executive producer text me to shut up and get to the show. Okay.
All right. He doesn't have to be pushy.
I guess that was just the appetizer.
Apparently.
The meat of the show is about to start.
All right. So, ladies and gentlemen, of course, everybody been talking about hurricanes, Trump, hair parts, apparently. Well, besides that, Sean Black want to talk about his topic about Jemele Hill. She's an ESPN. Jemele Hill, right? Am I saying that right? Jemele Hill. She's an ESPN sports anchor. But she tweeted something and said something on the show, and I know Sean wants to address it, so I'll be back in about 40 minutes. Take away, Sean.
I will get through this as quick as possible. The last few days, we've been hearing about this on the news as far as how many people think of Donald Trump and his transgressions. Apparently, Jemele Hill, who works at ESPN, is a co-anchor with Michael Smith on their 6 p.m. Sports Center. Away from her job, decided to tweet her opinion about the President of the United States, and in stating she put three tweets. One was that Donald Trump is a white supremacist who was largely surrounded himself with other white supremacists. Also stated, Trump is the most ignorant, offensive president in my lifetime. His rise is a direct result of white supremacy, period. And the third tweet was, Donald Trump is a bigot. Glad you could live with voting for him. I couldn't because I care about more than myself. The uproar got to the point where she was criticized by actual members of the White House, including the press secretary, Sarah Huckabee Sanders, who basically said that in her mind it was a fireable offense. And even believed tweets from President Trump stating that she should probably be fired and tried to, I guess, intimate throwing ESPN to wonder why she hadn't been fired or fined, etc. She was kind of forced to apologize, and an ESPN later statement saying, quote, the comments on Twitter from Jemele Hill regarding the president do not represent the position of ESPN. We have addressed this with Jemele, and she recognizes her actions were inappropriate, end quote. And this created a huge backlash. Here's the issue, and I'm going to ask this question to the rest of you, and you guys can answer it the way you want. There seems to be an issue between who can criticize somebody based on, in this case, their skin color. And the reason why I'm asking you this, there's pretty much a lot of the same things that Jemele Hill said. Miss Texas, that competed in the Miss America pageant, said about the president, basically saying, quote, I think that white supremacy is an issue, and what happened in Charlottesville was a terror attack. could blatantly go ahead and say things like that. Jemele Hill, for the most part, said the same. I'm going to ask this to you first, Hot Rod, and then I'll ask it to you, Anitra. Do you think that there is a difference in who is saying the same message as opposed to what the message actually is? Is there a double standard involved with
There's always a double standard involved, but I understand your question, but let's be honest with ourselves. She wasn't, Miss America was asked an honest question, and she used her platform to express her opinion of what's going on in the world today. While Miss Hill, it's funny, ESPN is more of a Democrat, more of a left wing, but they cannot stand Trump themselves, so they're being hypocrites. Well, and you criticize Hill, but at the same time, Hill's on a different platform. There's no one that I asked for opinion. Her job, even though she did not say it on the job itself, she did say it on her Twitter, but it still was flat on her because, remember, she's a sports analyst, a sports anchor. So for her to go be calling out Donald Trump as a white supremacist and all that stuff, it's like, what's the big deal? Isn't she entitled to say what's on her mind?
Exactly.
But as we say all this time on the show, and I believe on the show agree, freedom of speech does not mean freedom of speech. And we have to be careful what you say. We have to be careful what we say, because it might come bite us in the ass. You don't see me posting job stuff on social media, and also does the nature. I say what's on my mind, but to a certain level, because I don't want to get in trouble with my job. So what's more important, your job, or your freedom of speech? Anitra?
There's a time and place. She's in the public eye. Like, I do agree with you. If she was asked her opinion on the subject, it would have been one thing. But she wasn't. The contestant for the pageant was asked her opinion. She didn't just start ranting and raving. There's a huge difference. Now, she chooses to work essentially in the public eye. You have to put yourself to a certain standard. You have to behave a certain way. If she doesn't want those standards, then she should not work in the public. Then she should get out of the media. Don't work per station. Go into a private sector where it won't, you know, people won't care so much what you post on social media. But she's not, and she is on television. She is in the media, so you know they're gonna care.
And another thing for you, Sean. For example, last night was a nighttime Emmy Awards. Instead of focusing on the awards itself, they used that platform to talk about Trump, to, you know, criticize Trump. Apparently, not a lot of people's happy with Trump. Do you agree with that type of platform? Are you there to watch a war show? Or are you there to hear other people's opinions about politics?
What I will agree with you on is the fact that there is a time and a place for certain things, just like what Anitra just stated. And I think what has become commonplace now, especially on award shows and public platforms that we're starting to see, is that a lot of people are throwing what's been going on at the president at him. And I think that there's this thought process that nobody gets. I think the majority of the country, although I can't speak for the entire 300 million people that live in the United States, I could say probably that a majority of the people in this country believe that Donald Trump leans towards a racist slant, an ideology. Forget about women and his thought process of women, because we already have seen the misogyny. That's not even the issue for this particular argument. But to put it in a platform where I think everybody wants to roast the president just to show him, since he probably knows he's going to be looking at it, to talk about all of the things that he's saying. Now, here's the slippery slope. ESPN has backed themselves into a corner in this sense, because there have been other high-profile former athletes or
I'm sorry, Sean. Excuse me, Sean. We have a new caller. 381, you're on the air. Hello?
Yes, how are you doing?
Hey, how you doing?
Hello.
It's Pianki Collins from the Midwest.
Okay,
I'm
an
African American. I was a Trump supporter and voted for him.
So, what's your name?
Attended his rallies. My name is Pianki. I'm calling from the Midwest. You know, the thing that attracted me to Donald Trump was his issues that he campaigned on. All these other side distractions I'm paying attention from. You mentioned about some medias. Those medias are very, very biased. I see where somebody was making issue about double standards. Yes, there exists double standards. We had here in the St. Louis area a state legislature who made issue about Donald Trump being assassinated, and Maria Chappelle Nadal, the House members removed her from committeeship, but she should resign. And she made issues that the reason why come people was coming after because she was black and female. Well, you had the same thing with this Jemele Hill with ESPN, the things that she said. Well, I think she should resign also. You know, when you're working for a business, when you're working for a entity like ESPN, and they are catering to a diverse audience, what you say can offend those who would affect the revenue stream for that business. So if you're going to say those things, say them on your own time, or even in some cases you really, that you affiliated with them, because we've seen that played out also, that you should just keep those messages to yourself.
Okay,
you
may
mention about Colin Kaepernick. Colin Kaepernick done what he done.
His name is Kaepernick, not Kaepernick.
Kaepernick, I'm sorry. He done what he's done. I'm totally against athletes getting involved in politics. But if you do, you have to be willing to face the consequences.
So you agree. So he agreed that he's being blackballed, and he's a martyr right now, and he's never going to get a job in the NFL again. So you agree on
well,
that?
Well, you had this. When Rosa Parks done what she done, she got fired. She had to find another house because the landlord put her out, and that was the consequence. Tommy Smith and the other two athletes in the 1968 Olympics, they done what they done, but they end up paying the consequences. So, I mean, that's just the world you live in. Now it's even worse. It's not during Muhammad Ali's time when you didn't have the ability to speak to other countries at the same time, but because the way economics work, your ability to offend economic revenue streams that's coming from abroad is a high possibility. So make
okay.
the money, get out, then you can do whatever you want to do.
Yeah, but if you have the power to change lives, or you know, like we're doing right now, we're making people think. Don't you want to do that? And maybe that's what you're trying to do. But once again,
well, I can answer that.
But she has the freedom of speech. Once again, it's contradicting ourselves. You have the freedom of speech, but you can't say what's on your mind. But she didn't say it on the show. She said it via Twitter or social media.
Well, the lady that talked about assassinating Trump said it on social media also. But she's an elected official. She's somebody who's in the eye of the public. Freedom of speech is not all-inclusive. People can't say what they want to on college campuses. I mean, that is factual about that. And another point, as I said before, athletes should, you know, leave politics alone, because you are playing, you are entertaining a diverse audience. The NFL, their viewership dropped. People say for other reasons. Some people say because of this. And here's another. You have other you know, I hear other people say that other team members want him to come back. Well, that just don't make any sense.
What?
If this man is the great,
let me finish.
We don't even want to get into arguments and people say things you don't agree with. But let me finish. Because
okay.
if he is as great a quarterback as they say he is, why would you want him to be there competing against your team, possibly knocking you out the playoff and a chance to go to the Super Bowl? If you had an opportunity to put Manning on the bench, would not people take that opportunity?
Sean?
I don't think that the answer is that blanketed, that straightforward. If you're looking at a purely sports mindset, you're looking at and you're just looking at the talent of the guy. The thought process is he should be on a team if he's good enough to play. This is where the underlying issues come from, because he has not only has he not gotten any tryouts, he got one, I guess, a workout per se with one team, has not really gotten a look from any other team. And there are, if we've looked at all of the teams that have had starting quarterbacks and backup quarterbacks get hurt, injured, and have played completely ineffective, Colin Kaepernick, who I've documented on this show before, has played good enough to get a team to a Super Bowl and to an NFC Championship game. He should have been able to get a look from someone. And if it's not purely a standpoint of just skill, just talent, it has to be something else. It may not be spoken. It may not be something that is as overt as you would think. But there is something along the lines, and a lot of the other owners in the NFL have said it, that they don't know what bringing Colin Kaepernick to their team will do to, as you stated, their bottom line. And I think when you're looking in a socially conscious way, if you're looking to go and bring the money involved, a lot of people don't realize that you're talking to the fans that are coming to the team, and a large section of them are looking back and saying, you know what, I don't know if I want to deal with this team because of the way they're treating this particular athlete, and they don't have an explainable reason for him not to be in the league, at least to compete. And I think that's the big difference.
Okay.
Is there.
Excuse me. Well, I have to give this to Anitra first. Anitra, do you believe politics and sports should mix up? Like, do you think athletes will use their platform on the stage to speak about politics, or just leave it alone and talk about it on the side?
No, absolutely not. Sports and politics do not intertwine. That's just a fact. People forget at the end of the day, the NFL is a business. They have paychecks to cut. They have seats to fill. If what you say is going to disrupt that business, of course they're not going to want you. That's common sense.
All right, caller.
Well, yes. I mean, she's absolutely right. You know, I'm here in St. Louis. We remember the great shortstop Ozzie Smith and how he got to St. Louis. He got to St. Louis because there was another great shortstop by the name of Gary Templeton. And in one game, I guess the fans was heckling him, and he gave the fans the bird, the finger. Well, he had to go. He had to go.
Well, Ozzie Smith did so much for St. Louis.
Ozzie Smith wouldn't have came to St. Louis if Gary Temple had not left.
But
we had another
because he was a good player for many years.
Well, Gary Templeton was just as good as a shortstop and a better hitter. But here's the point. When you deal in politics, you have people of varying ideologies and say-sos that come to the game. That's paying season tickets. That's buying. That's paying for the items that's being advertised in commercials. So you do not want to disrupt those revenue streams. You have other players who have their livelihood on the line also. They have practiced, came up, and sacrificed through all those years. Do you know all the sacrifice that's involved to get a LeBron James on the court? Look at all the other kids that he had to play against. Their parents had to pay money to get them to the courts, to the game, in order for him to have competitive teams so he could hone his skills. Well, unfortunately, he, out of all of them, was the one to reach the pinnacle where he is today. So that's just the way it is.
Okay.
Here's where I will disagree on some level from what you're saying as far as politics and sports don't intertwine. I'll tell you this why. In the NFL, the majority of the National Football League, I believe it's 78% of the National Football League, are African American. In baseball, it's much, much lower. I believe it's African Americans, I believe, are like 3% or 4%. It's a very small percentage. When the people that are the main people that are paying for the athletes to be there, which are the paying customers, even though the owners get the money, their revenue is coming from the fans for the most part. If the fans feel that the players that are on the field don't, one, represent a rooting interest for them in a particular way, regardless of what it is, whether he's African-American, whether he's Hispanic, whether he's Irish or Jewish or whatever the case, and they have an opinion where we see a lot of these sports talk shows talk about, we would like to see the players be more transparent and see what they're talking about. There can't be that double standard where it's only something they want to hear if it's quote-unquote positive towards the bottom line. If it's a complete negative, which will affect their bottom line, the ownership and a lot of the different companies don't want to hear it if it upsets the apple cart. That's the dichotomy here. And when you hear a lot of people say, well, we want our athletes to say something and stand for something, but yet they shouldn't be involved in politics. I don't understand.
Okay.
Well, the same way they restricted end zone annex after a score. And it may not just be what they want them to hear, but it also could be what they don't want to hear from them. We had a team here called the St. Louis Hawks, and it folded because White said they was not willing to pay to see a bunch of gorillas running up and down this court with shorts on. And they gone. So the people that's paying the money comes from various background ideas and political persuasions. And when they're watching an entertainment, they don't want to be offended. Now, the NFL makes provisions and the NBA makes provisions for people who have an issue with the national anthem to exclude themselves for it. If Kaepernick had said, I'm doing this because of religious reasons, there probably wouldn't have been nothing else said. But in some things, especially hot-button topics socially that's going on in a country that you don't want to affiliate yourself with when your audience, you don't know where they hail from.
All right, so one question before I go to K-Dog, to the caller. You mentioned earlier you want Jemele Hill. You believe Jemele Hill should be fine, resigned, fired, whatever. What about Curt Schilling on a statement he made years ago on ESPN? Sean, what did he say? I forgot. It was something racist or...
There were two things that happened. One, he had actually compared Muslim extremists to Nazis, which is something that didn't go over well with the network. He was fined. He was taken off the TV for a while. But then he pushed a meme through his own, ironically here, through his Twitter account. It was a picture of a transgendered woman.
Yes.
And this was along the lines of the bathroom, the bathroom laws that were going around in Charlotte and in North Carolina. And that offended a lot of people, and ESPN had warned him about those comments, and he did it anyway, and he was then suspended, and then he was fired.
All right, so back to the caller. Look, this is what Curt Schilling did, but he got fired. You're saying that ESPN did not handle this the right way?
I didn't say that. Let me tell you something else. We have a school here, a private school, where some white students, I believe they drew some epitaphs of blacks being hung, or maybe made some dolls. Well, the black parents that go to this school is a very elite school, costs about $18,000 for your kid to go there a year, $18,000 to $24,000. They threatened to take their children out. Well, the school suspended the white students for what they're done. They didn't expel them, they suspended them. At the same time, you had the state representative that made the statements that she did on Twitter about Trump being assassinated. Then she's going to say, well, she didn't mean it, and then that they're going after her because she's a black female. Well, if the children can be suspended, should she not suspend her activity with the state legislature? It's a double standard.
Okay, K-Dog, you want to say something? Take it away, K-Dog. Thank you for calling.
Hey, you're welcome. Good evening, Sean Black,
Thank
Anitra,
you.
Hot Rod, Hey, it's a pleasure talking to you three. And all I gotta say is this: is that should that girl be fired? No, she shouldn't, because you know what? That's proving her freedom of speech. Because I'm gonna tell you something else. When it comes to athletes and social issues, athletes should take a stand on it. It is their right to do that. Because why? Athletes have an image to maintain with the public. Because you know what? To show that they care too. Athletes are people, and they have a right to express their opinions no matter what. Because
and he should have did that on his own time, not on the NFL's time. They pay his salary. He doesn't pay them. You got to remember that.
Well, listen.
Can do it on your own time, not on business time.
Well, Colin Kaepernick, by all means, like I said, he's a person. Okay.
Oh, he is.
He is. And there was something like that happened, too, back in 1996 with Abdul-Rauf of the NBA.
Abdul-Rauf, yeah.
Right. When he was protesting against saluting the flag, what did he do? He bowed his head and did his Muslim prayers. Again, it is an American right. If they want to do it, you can't tell them, oh, you're not allowed to do it. It's not fair to them.
They have the right to do it. But then you have to, you can't be ignorant to the backlash. You have to expect that people are going to disagree with what you just did, and you have to expect the backlash.
I agree that that there will be backlash. There will be repercussions for it, because it has been known that athletes who have always taken a stand on social issues, they paid the consequences for it.
Yeah, but
you know,
once again, K-Dog, like I said earlier, now you post stuff on social media, you have to be careful now, because it might affect your job. And it should be over.
It does.
We don't want to lose our job. Even though we have freedom of speech.
No,
I agree with that as well.
You know, yes, you shouldn't be going on social media saying anything, because you know what? Hey, social media, you don't know who's watching. You may say, oh, my boss is not on it, but yet someone who knows your boss is saying, wow, look at what so-and-so is saying about you on social media. That's the problem with social media, because too many people have strong opinions about things. And when they go on social media, it causes a problem.
Yeah. And part of the other thing that I've noticed has happened was, as we talked about ESPN in general as a company, we brought up Curt Schilling.
Oh, yeah.
There was another person that used to work at ESPN, and named Doug Adler. And he was fired by ESPN for a comment that he made during the Australian Open while Venus Williams was playing. And
yeah, I remember that.
Basically said that she was imploring the, I think it was called the gorilla effect, in charge.
Yeah, Now,
I, from what I saw and looking at where he was going, that was the first thing that popped into my head. Had nothing to do with what the connotation that Twitter took was. It was a meaning she was a gorilla per se. She was using gorilla, G-U-R-I-L-L-A. Gorilla
and,
tactics.
And it was still kind of like, it was still a racial epithet.
Yes. And so that went completely off the rails. That got him fired. And he talked about the fact that he had used it before 20 years ago. As a matter of fact, it was used in a Nike ad called Gorilla Tennis. And he had been using that phrase prior to that. When in that ad in 1995, it was a brand of sneaker called Gorilla Tennis, and it was a commercial that he did with Pete Sampras and Andre Agassi. So from that sense, he thinks that it all went downhill to the point where he had so much stress, he had a heart attack. Now, there's that slippery slope that ESPN tends to go in, that they painted themselves in a situation where who do you actually discipline? How do you discipline it, and are certain things that are along the lines of free speech finable, suspendable, et cetera, based on whatever guidelines they've set?
Okay. To that statement, I think ESPN the Lemon Hill slide, because you could tell ESPN is more of an anti-Trump overall. And this is what probably Trump is talking about, fake news and all that stuff. So let's be honest. ESPN is playing favoritism with this. It's like,
well,
once again,
you know,
it's like the NFL.
You
know,
you think so?
Is that something? Trust me.
Well, basically,
ESPN
Hot Rod, I'm just going to say, you might as well say all of media, because basically what's going on right now with the whole Trump situation, when it comes down to the media, you know his war with the media, and a lot of those in the media, excluding Fox News, have a huge issue with Trump, insulting them constantly. They really don't like it.
Well, here's my question for the caller. You're a Trump supporter. You're African American. Have you got any heat or backlash from being a Trump supporter in your area? If you don't mind,
talking
about it. So have people say that you're a traitor or a coon or whatever?
We receive all those type of negative connotations.
And do you believe Trump is doing a fair job right now?
I voted for Trump because of his issues. School choice, immigration reform, tax reform. I'm a married person, so if they allow the exempt amount for married couples filing jointly from 12.7 to 25,400, I like that. I need that. Married people need that.
But the question is, do you think he's doing a fair job right now? But I support Trump too to a certain time, but I don't think he's doing a fair job right now.
Well, yes, he's doing a fair job for what he's been able to do. His appointment of the Supreme Court Justice, his ideal on the Paris Accord, ICE's action on immigration. They're getting ready to start talking on tax reform. The groundswell that was created by Trump's election in the state of Missouri brought about voter ID, constitutional carry in the state of Missouri, and also the ability for corporations to sponsor children from disadvantaged school district to where their parents can put them where they want them to go. Corporation pay for it, and they get to write it off against their gross income tax.
So let me ask you this question. What has Donald Trump displayed to you in the 9 months he's been in office that displays to you that he actually is competent enough to get something passed through? Because as we've seen over the last few months, he hasn't been able to get anything done with health care. He hasn't been able to get a lot of things done that he's promised or tried to get done. And it seems that a lot of the things that he's trying to do have completely polarized both the left and the right and people in the middle. So what do you think, from what you've seen, gives you the ideal that he's going to get something done?
Well, with health care, he put it in the Republican congressman for the last 7 years who have been talking about repealing Obamacare, quote unquote, had an opportunity to do it, but they reneged on what they had promised. That wasn't Trump's fault. If they had brought him a bill, he would have signed it. That's their fault. You got some people up there that's in pretension mode of being doing one thing, but they really are not.
Okay. Last week, Hillary has been going around. She wrote her new book, of course, promoting what happened. Were you against Hillary?
Oh, absolutely. I was against Hillary. I'm sick and tired of the Clintons. I'm against Hillary for a whole host of reasons. And my Haitian friends used to picket her office daily because of the things that went on in Haiti after the earthquake. That there alone was enough for me not to vote for her if I had never known her up until that moment.
But you were not against her because she's a woman.
Was I against her because she's a woman? Heck, she done enough things, I think, that was notorious before you even knew that she was a female.
Anitra B?
Yeah.
Sean, take over. have to step away.
Okay. Here's where a lot of people have a lot of consternation about Trump in general. And regardless of the fact, you said that you look at into Trump as somebody to vote for based on his, I guess, is this his record you were looking for or what he has promised?
The issues, the issues. And one thing about every issue he has put, he campaigned on, he has tried and actually worked on. How many times do you get politicians that do this? And I'm African-American. I know a whole lot about the black community. The Democrats use the black community like whooping boys. And I'm sure there's no one here that can disagree with that. Blacks vote for Democrats, lot stop. They put no demands out there whatsoever.
One of the things that I think we, and we probably discussed this on this show many times before, especially in the African-American community, is the fact that a lot of African Americans and other minorities in the United States don't know enough about the actual candidates because they're not informed enough or don't get the information enough to know who they're voting for. They're getting voter guides and trying to find out who's running for what their platform is. And if we're talking about anybody in other minority neighborhoods around the country, and you ask any minority who this person is, who's this voting for, who's running for civil court judge or county clerk or alderman, they probably wouldn't be able
they
to tell.
No, they wouldn't. And that is a problem. Oh, sorry for interrupting.
Go ahead.
That is a problem in the black community because we're not familiarized with our politicians. And, you know, that's what causes a whole lot of problems. But let me just say this, you know, with in terms of, and I'm speaking as a proud black man, yes, we have been bamboozled. Yes, we have been dealt with a heavy blow. We're still getting dealt with a heavy blow in the black community, with black people. It goes on and on because this country was founded on this. It was founded on racism. There's no question about it. And therefore, as black people, we do need to learn more. It's important to know who you're voting for. It's important.
Can I comment on that, if you don't mind? You know, Colin Kaepernick has put his...
Colin Kaepernick. All right.
Kaepernick.
All right,
but
good.
But the football player put himself on Front Street. But blacks is responsible for a lot of these things themselves. Let's take Ferguson, for instance.
Hold up.
I live near Ferguson.
No, I'm not.
Let him comment.
What you mean bringing it to themselves, man? Get out of here with that mess.
Well, let me make my statement. But I live near Ferguson. They had an election in Ferguson just this past summer, where the mayor knows who had been the mayor there in Ferguson all through all these depressed era times. Blacks make up 70% of the population in that city. Blacks didn't come out and vote the man out of office. So whose onus is that? Blacks make up 70% of the population, and damn near 100% out of 53 police officers, I think two was black. Whose onus is that? The same thing in the fire department. Why do you let your fire department be all white? Your school district, teachers, all white. City hall, public works, all white. That is the responsibility of the people in that municipality. If you don't come out and vote and participate in the electoral process, nobody's stopping you from coming out and vote.
Here's another thing.
Sorry, I agree with him. I agree with you 100%.
And who don't go to the school board meetings? Who don't go to the school board meeting? They had busing, and you had some outlying school districts to the gentleman that didn't want me to talk. Pattonville, they brought the school board meeting to the hood, and blacks still didn't attend to it.
So I'm just trying to say that you're trying to say that we have nobody to blame but ourselves.
In those instances, yes. Nobody's keeping me from going. You had, look, where Darren Wilson, the police officer that shot Mike Brown, he came from Jennings. A black city council. They dissolved the all-white police department. Wilson dissolved this all-white police department. They took action. They went to a different system where they hired local. So there's nothing keeping the people in Ferguson from going out and voting.
All right.
To the gentleman that didn't want me to talk.
He's back on now. K-Dog, what do you have to say
all right.
about that?
Well, okay, I agree with the gentleman who said that, yes, black people don't go out to vote. And it has been shown that, yes, we don't vote in elections. We stay at home, and yet we're the first ones to complain. Now, I'm not going to say that I'm talking down to black people as a black person. I'm not talking down. But, however, sir, I do apologize for going off on you. I took words the wrong way. Now, here's what I have to say about this. We as a people, we have to take responsibilities for the things that we do. And I've said this before, and I've gotten backlash for it saying, oh, how could you say that? Listen, do we live in a racist country? Yes. Do we continue to suffer injustice? Yes. But however, when we as a people continuously allow certain things to happen in our neighborhoods, it is a problem. And it is a problem that we have to resolve because, believe it or not, it is not anybody that's going to come out and say, oh, let me give you a hand. Because no one could help. Let me just say this clearly. You can't ask for help if you can't help yourself. You have to really think about things in your own neighborhood. I mean, perfect example. Let's just say you live in a neighborhood that's messed up. Why do you continually mess it up? Clean up your neighborhoods. Your schools are messed up. Do something about it. Don't ask for things, you know. How could I say this without being hard, but stop begging. Stop with the begging. Stop saying, so-and-so's not doing this for us. Then how can they do it for you if you're not doing it for yourself? Because I'm going to give you some prime examples. In every part of the United States, there's a Chinatown. You want to know why there's a Chinatown? Because the Asians put their heads together to make things work in their own neighborhoods. They even buy property. Jewish neighborhoods. And I live near a Jewish neighborhood in New York City, in Brooklyn. Jewish people, what they do is that they look out for one another. They even own banks. They own property in their own neighborhoods. But, however, in the black community, the problem is that nobody owns anything. And excuse me for saying this, I'm going to be bold. We don't have a community because we're so divided. We do not have a community. And when it comes to elections, get out there and vote. Why get out there and vote? Because think about the consequences that went behind people getting that right to vote. Because do you realize that in getting that right to vote, there were blacks as well as whites who gave their lives for this. They were beaten up, arrested, killed.
Excuse me, K-Dog.
Yeah.
I have to go to the next topic, but I want to give the caller 2 minutes to tell me his final thought, then we go on to the next topic. So anything that you'd like
to
add?
Well, one thing that we have to admit, that all blacks in the United States are not the same. That's a falsehood that's been put out there. All blacks are not the same. And another thing, when it's looked at very closely, the United States can be identified because of ideology, culture, and tendencies that the United States consists of about 11 different countries. The people in Maine thinks different about the death penalty than the people in Florida. The people in Washington, D.C. thinks different about issues than the people in Mississippi. So they are not the same as a nation, totally, and they are not the same as an ethnic group. Blacks are different. You have blacks that flee the city like they fled Washington, D.C. They fled Chicago because they don't want the risk of being a casualty in a system that they can, in an area where they cannot control. Blacks, as I said before, one of Trump's issues was school choice. When blacks are polled, they in the high 70 percentile say, yes, we want school choice with vouchers where we can put our children where we think is best for them. But you got these vanguard organizations like the NAACP and your Congressional Black Caucus that's against that because they are had and bought by the teachers' unions. So,
okay. I have two more calls. Thank you so much for calling. I appreciate it. Please call back next week. Thank you so much once again. Have a
Thank
good
you.
Night. Okay. I have Milton X in the house, everybody, and Phil the Fishman Fisher, I believe. Milton X.
Yeah, I'm here.
Hey, Phil, how are you, man? Hey, Phil.
All right.
How you doing, K-Dog?
Doing well, doing well.
Guys, you talk later about that. I don't care, but this is my time now. What's on your mind? We got a few minutes left.
Well, you know, the Trump regime is doing what it does best, which is, you know, rip the country asunder, which is, hey, America deserves every bit of it, as far as I'm concerned, you know. As the Bible says, you sow, you should also reap. So this is what, as they say, karma is bringing down America. Now, as far as the Jemele Hill situation, ESPN, in the higher ups' opinion, she got out of line. Because, you know, it's one thing for so-called white people to call out white supremacy, but they're going to be damned if they're going to let some black woman do the same thing on their airwaves. That's why, as black people, we need our own airwaves, our own TV stations, our own media, so we can control what's going on. I heard a call of this before me.
Don't you have BET for that?
BET no longer belongs to us. Man, fuck BET. Anyway, but more importantly, we need our own schooling. We need our own everything. Because you can't be an alcoholic and then cure yourself of alcoholism by drinking more liquor.
Pop Rug was big to differ on that one.
Yeah, I'm just saying. Exactly. Well, you just proved my point. But you can't you can't depend on what's making you sick and let's get you better. That's why we need to do what our other racial groups do and separate ourselves from, you know, the clutches of America. The problem is, ever since so-called integration, white supremacy has put our claws in our back, basically. Because, you know, my father used to tell me all the time that we were better under segregation. I didn't want to believe it at that time. But he was 100% right because we owned stuff. We had our own baseball leagues. We had our own railroad companies, our own cab companies. We had our own everything. We had our own schools. And we were doing just as good, if not even better than the white man. That's why the white man saw that and said, okay, we'll give you this illusion of inclusion and integration. And thus, you've been slowly but surely falling lower and lower ever since then.
Okay, I'm sorry. I got to give it to Phil. Phil, what do you have to say?
I just want to say what's up to you guys. I thought there was going to be a big brawl breaking out before on your show.
Nah.
but you know what? There is chaos everywhere. I mean, racism is everywhere. And
yeah, the country's chaos.
No shit.
unfortunate. I mean, I love you guys like you were my own family. I mean,
hey,
I know Rodney, Sean, Kerwin. I know you guys for almost over 20 years.
Yes, we do. Yeah,
and I just
want
to say, Rodney, you picked the perfect time to do a show tonight because the Giants just absolutely suck tonight.
Oh my god!
Okay.
I'm not watching the game. The Giants suck. Get rid of Eli.
Guys, Eli's
playing like a wuss tonight.
Hold on, guys. We're getting off the topic. I don't want to talk about sports like that right now. We have a serious show. But talk about football. They say the Raiders have been down for football. Do you guys blame? They say the Raiders are down for football due to the Kaepernick situation. I don't want to talk about Kaepernick, but do you think the Raiders is down because of the protest or the boycott of Kaepernick?
I think there's something to it, but now the media won't admit it to that. Now, let's be honest here. But there is something to the fact that the ratings are dropping. You know what I'm saying? And yet college football ratings are rising, and the U.S. Open ratings rose as well. So not because of the hurricane, because that's the case, college football and the U.S. Open would have dropped also. But I think a lot of people are sick of the bullshit that's happened in the situation. They know that the less quarterbacks have less ability than him in the league now, and people are tired of the bullshit.
And I think it's also the quality of the games have not been where we used to seeing in the last couple of years.
No, it hasn't. But Sean, but let's be honest, the quality sucked last year and the year before. It wasn't dropping like this. This is different.
Oh, yeah.
There's a reckoning coming here.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
You
because
know what I think it is? The goose that laid the golden egg is about to get its head cut off. And
nah,
I think this has been happening for a while now.
Nah, but the thing is, though, even, you know, white folks to a certain extent are seeing the bullshit of America. See, the whole, you know, American apple pie, great country of the world, it's a bunch of crap. And now the chickens have come home to roost. And people are seeing this, and Kaepernick is a symbol of that.
Okay. And we got 3 minutes left from there. Tonisha B, I know you listen to the gossip and everything. Kevin Hart went on social media to apologize for cheating on his pregnant wife. Because we heard about it, he finally admitted. Do you think he did the right thing of apologizing on social media to us about cheating, or that's something he should have kept between him and his family?
Should have kept that with his family. The guy's an idiot. I mean, come on. Like, I don't give a shit. I don't care what he does.
Neither, to be honest about it. There's too much supporting shit out here about Kevin Hart.
No.
Kevin Hart made about $80 million last year. He's going to be all right either way.
My take on Kevin Hart, man, you should have never go out there and just, you know, that's something private. And I agree with Anitra on that one. It's a private matter. There was no need for that. No need for
that. But let's be honest about it. The pregnant chick ain't leaving his ass anyway, so it don't really matter. She ain't going nowhere.
Kevin
and this chick ain't going nowhere neither.
Kevin Hart put himself in this situation because the woman that he married was the person he cheated on with from his first wife.
Exactly.
You know,
got her pregnant. He fell in love with
her.
Well,
you know what it is? Power attracts pussy, so, you know what I mean? It is what it is.
Kevin Hart put himself in this situation. He should know better.
But let's be honest about it here. Kevin Hart isn't in this situation. He's not. Ain't shit gonna happen to him. He got money. He got a whole lot of fucking money.
So what, I'm sorry.
Ain't
well,
shit
you know
gonna
what?
Happen.
Oh, he got money. What does that mean? That they're not gonna break
that
up?
That means them bitches ain't going nowhere. Part of my
money. But you know what that means?
You can make $7 billion in cash, and it doesn't mean anything.
He don't
get in that situation. That's
why. Just like that Kobe Bryant shit. It's the same
Wait
shit.
A
yeah,
you
but
give
you
her
know,
a big,
that's,
big
that's,
ring,
don't call
and that's gonna be it.
Like that. Well, you don't
yeah,
call people
yeah,
the word like that.
Listen,
okay, man, come on, man.
At the same goals. It's the same way you get them, the same way you keep.
Wow.
You.
But
I ain't got no sympathy for none of you motherfuckers. To be honest about it.
Women respect. Women have respect for women, bro. I have respect for women. Listen, look. The bottom line is that your wife is pregnant and you're messing around. That ain't cool.
No shit. But is she gonna leave? No.
Well, we don't know that right now.
Exactly.
Because this is just the genesis of the situation and happening. Let's give it a couple of weeks.
Listen. Here's a newsflash: people with money fuck around and get away with it all the time.
No. I just
not really.
Bullshit.
Bullshit. Milton X. K Dog, Anitra B.
Goodness gracious.
We came back with a vengeance tonight. Thank you all.
You're welcome.
You're welcome.
Yes. You're
and,
all welcome.
I know the pleasure was all mine.
Yeah, it was.
But okay, folks, thank you for tuning in to another crazy edition of the Absolute Truth Show right
it
here on Blog Talk
crazier.
Radio.
Of
I'm
course.
Your host with the most, the Hot Rod, Sean Black,
Sean
if he's still there. And Anitra B, if she's still there. And like, and damn, we're back. That's all
yes,
I
we
say.
Are.
I know.
With the vengeance. With the vengeance, everyone.
Good night, everybody. And
good night, gentlemen. Enjoy your evening.
Good night, you all.
Anitra B, You could go to hell. Good night.
I'm where you been, bitch.
Good night, everyone.
Good night.
Help me.